Welcome to the Jensen Franklin Podcast. Let's get into this week's message from Pastor Jensen Franklin.
What they're singing about is so real to many of us in this room and overflow, wherever you're watching around the world. It's so real that it's very moving to hear these songs, to realize the remarkable price Jesus went to pay to show us divine love. That trail of blood that led all the way down the Via Dolorosa. The suffering, the pain, the blood. And that blood, according to Hebrews chapter 12, has a voice. The Bible said the blood of Jesus speaks better things than the blood of Abel. Abel's blood said vengeance, but the blood of Jesus cries forgiveness and mercy. And I was thinking about the seven wounds of Jesus. I was thinking about the price that he paid and how he bled from his body from seven different places. And I felt like the Lord spoke to me and gave me a little message to give you. Because every time he shed blood from some part of his body, that blood heals a part of your life. The first time that Jesus shed his blood, he shed it in the Garden of Gethsemane when he was travailing and his sweat became like drops of blood. He refused his own will and he said, "Not my will, but thine be done." The first time that Jesus shed his blood was shed for the healing of your will, to make my will line up with his will, to make my desires in line with his desires, to make my wants come in line with his wants. He had to shed his blood. And when he cried, "Not my will, but thine be done," his sweat became drops of blood. I remember when it happened to me in Rocky Mount, North Carolina. I was a rebellious teenager. And I was partying with my friends and doing whatever I wanted to do and trying to get into everything and experiment. But that night, I went to church. By force, my parents made me go. And I sat in the very back. And it was in that moment that the blood of Jesus began to heal my will. Because when I walked into that church, I had no will or desire to live for Christ. I'd been in church all my life, raised in a preacher's home, and I just didn't want it anymore. I'd seen hypocrites. I'd seen people lie on my dad and hurt my feelings. I'd seen people stuff. We're all just people. And so I just said, "I'm done. I want to see the other side." It left me empty. Those parties left me empty, broken. And in that service that night, at the age of 16 years old, I felt my will line up with his will. My desires in that altar. I walked down. I didn't even wait on the preacher to give the altar call. They were singing a song and I couldn't stand it anymore. I felt like I was going to die if I didn't get up. It felt like something said to me, "It's today or never." I don't know why I felt that way. I don't know that that was right or wrong, but that's how I felt. My heart was pounding and I felt like if I don't get to that altar, this is it for me. And I walked down that aisle. And his blood healed my will. And I'm not perfect and I've struggled and I've fallen. But I've never had my will not want to be like Jesus since that day. Then the second time that Jesus bled, and this one's so important. He bled from his face when they tore his beard off. The text said that they literally ripped his beard off. If you can imagine such a thing. That someone with a beard that they would be so brutal that they would literally tear it from one end to the other. The prophet Isaiah saw it in a vision 2,000 years before it happened. And he said his visage or his image was more marred or destroyed than any other, meaning he was unrecognizable after they beat him, slapped him with their hands and tore his beard off, physically tore it off. His skin hung and he was unrecognizable. The second time that Jesus bled, he bled for the healing of your self-image, your image. This was important to me because when I was a teenager, after I gave my heart to the Lord, I think the enemy really targeted me. And I had a disease and I had boils from the top of my head, my scalp, my neck, my ears, my eyes, my chest, my back. I felt as though I was a leper or something. I was that impressionable age of 17, a senior, almost a senior in high school. I lost my social life. I became sick, stayed home in my room, depressed. I would look in the mirror and look like all my friends would be having a good time, and I'd given my heart to Jesus, and here I am. And I'd look in that mirror and I'd say, nobody will ever even want me. I despised myself. I hated myself when I'd look in that mirror. And you may be here and you may be a young lady and you look in the mirror and you hate yourself. You hear a voice that says you're ugly, you're not pretty enough, you're not thin enough, you're not smart enough, you're not good enough. I heard that voice. It almost took my life. You may be looking at me right now, and the image that God made you in is either male or female. But the enemy may be lying to you, telling you you're a man trapped in a woman's body or a woman trapped in a man's body. But the Bible said he made them in his image, and he made them male and he made them female. And he loves you. And you are fearfully and wonderfully made, Psalms 139. And when Jesus bled from his face, he bled for the healing of our image. I am a child of God. And he began to heal my self-image. He began to the fact that I can stand up every Sunday before 2,000 or 3,000, whatever people that fills this room, and I can preach in front of you. There was a time when I couldn't look you in the eye. I was so ashamed. I was so low in self-confidence. I could not look you in the eye. But that's what the blood can do. It can heal your self-image. It can heal your will. The third time that he bled from his head when they shoved the crown of thorns on his head. Bleeding from his head represents the healing of the mind. And in a generation after the pandemic that is broken, broken mentally, broken emotionally, young people who've lost their way in the depths of depression and darkness and suicidal and going deeper and deeper into addiction. He bled to heal mental illness. He bled to heal our minds. You don't have to live in fear. You don't have to live in a depressed, hopeless life. When Jesus shed his blood, he took the curse. The thorn represents the curse. And he shed his blood to heal our minds from depression and from trauma and from rape and from child abuse and from every horrible thing that hell has tried to do to you. He can renew your mind. He can give you a mind that is thinking right and is free from the power of the past. And then when he bled from his back. Why? He bled for the healing of our bodies. And I boldly decree over this congregation today that by his stripes we are healed. that there's a name greater than cancer, and there's a name greater than heart disease and kidney disease and lung disease. There is a name above every name that can be named, and it is Jesus, and by his stripes we are healed. With long life he satisfies us, hallelujah, and shows us his salvation. Then when he bled from his hands for the healing of our work. We think that what we do for a living is not spiritual, and we're so wrong. When Jesus drug the cross, he drug it through the marketplace because he knew that was where people worked. He didn't just want crosses in the church. He wanted people to carry the cross through the secular marketplace. And he wants to use what you do for a living. He wants the work of your hands. When they drove the nails into his hands, he was bleeding for your work. It matters what you do. And he has a mission. He has an assignment. He has a plan. I watch these young people. We're getting close to the last one. This has been quite a weekend, but I watch these amazing, beautiful young people. My mind's just racing, and I'm thinking about how that Etienne, the young man who's sung here and played the piano, and he's our main worship leader, meaning he's over all the other worship leaders. He was a little kid running around Free Chapel. He grew up in Kid Pack downstairs, just a little bitty fella. I saw Jet, his son, this morning leaving with his wife Hillary. I looked out the window of my room back there, and I saw little Jet in that cute little suit that you got him, little bitty fella about that big. And boy, he was about to drag Hillary down the street. Somebody gave him some Easter candy early this morning. But it was the most precious thing, and I thought, there goes another Etienne, there goes another Jonathan, there goes another raised in the house of God. Those talents you just heard, what is that? The Lord is blessing the work of his hands, and God has raised him up. I thought about Daniel Welburn. He's somewhere in here, somewhere working, running around with a camera, and at the age of 10, working in Kid Pack. And now he's in full-time ministry. He was on the Sea of Galilee with me, literally in Israel, 2.5 weeks ago, holding a camera in his hand that he learned to use downstairs. My own daughter, Courtney, learned to edit TV, her whole skills. What am I trying to say to you young people and folks here? If you give your life to Jesus Christ, he bled to give you meaning and purpose and a talent and a gift. You have something that your hands can produce that will touch people's lives for good. He bled from his feet to heal our walk. And don't you let anybody tell you you just can't live it. Don't you let anybody tell you you can't walk out of that addiction. Don't you let anybody tell you that you can't get beyond the past. You can't move beyond that abuse. You can't move beyond that bad relationship. You can't get beyond the grief of that loss of a son or a daughter. You can't walk out of that. He bled so that you could walk on top of water if you have to. Whatever's over your head is under his feet, and he gives you the power to walk it out. And lastly, he bled from his side. You remember when that centurion guard stabbed him in the side, and henceforth came blood and water. What was that about? My mind went to the story of Adam and how that he was lonely, and God saw that he was alone, and God said it's not good for a man to be alone. He needs a wife. He needs a family. And God put him to sleep and opened up his side and reached in, pulled out a rib, and created a beautiful woman, woke Adam up from the anesthesia, and he looked and saw a beautiful, gorgeous woman, and he said, wow, man. When Jesus bled from his side, It was really what Adam said when he saw her. He went on to say, she's bone of my bone. She's flesh of my flesh. And then they begin to multiply their family. And when Jesus bled from his side, he bled for the healing of our families. If your home, listen to this preacher. If you never listened to another preacher, listen to me. I don't care what hell has done to your family and your home. When he bled from his side, it was for the healing of our fellowship, the healing of our families, the healing of our marriages, the healing of our relationship with our children and our grandchildren. And there's nothing hell's done to your family that the blood of Jesus cannot restore. I want you to understand, he is not just the Prince of Peace. He's the Prince of Pieces. And sometimes all you have left is broken pieces. But he's the Prince of those pieces. And he's the God of our families. I see up there my family this morning. My mother is here, who's had some challenges of late. But she's sitting up there. My wife, Cherise, is here. Amazing. And all my children, almost all of them. And I sat up there and I watched the scene of Calvary. And I was peeping down and watching my grandchildren, Amelia and Elliot, and other people's kids up there. And that's what thrilled me about things like this, because we're creating a memory. I grew up in church, and Easter Sunday was such a special day. We had my mom and dad. My dad was a preacher. My mom would get us all together. She had three sons and two daughters, and it was like five drunk midgets running around everywhere. And she would dress us. She had a Singer sewing machine. You remember that, Mom? But when we couldn't afford a new outfit for Easter, she would sew us an outfit. And she would make us look like $1 million on Easter Sunday morning. Me and my brothers would have the same suits on, all the same color and everything. Remember one year we got little blue double-breasted, I call them disco suits. John Travolta had made, and we had little silk shirts, and we were little old bitty things, and we thought we were it, and had high heel men. Y'all know what I'm talking about? The big, y'all are looking at me like I'm strange. Go look at a video from the 70s. Casey and the Sunshine Band. That's who we looked like when we walked it. I remember going to get up early in the morning and getting in my dad's big old Lincoln Continental, because that's what preachers drive. Where are we going, Daddy? It's so early, and all of us half asleep in our brand new clothes. We're going to the graveyard. We're having a sunrise service. The graveyard. This is my memories. And we'd have services in the graveyard, and as the sun would be coming up, we'd be singing, "He lives, he lives, Christ Jesus lives today." Anybody know what I'm talking about? Well, we're going to have one in this place today that's going to change entire generations. If you'll say yes to that blood, it'll cleanse your family. It'll cleanse you. It'll cleanse your will, your mind, your body. It'll heal your walk. It'll heal your work. It'll heal your image. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're in this room today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're at the unique transition and crossroad of life. God brought you to this church this morning not to hear a performance, but to absolutely encounter his nail-scarred hand reaching for you. And already over 530-something people have given their heart to Jesus Christ at this moment, and there's room at the cross for you. And if you're in this room or you're in overflow or you're watching me anywhere all over the world and you feel something just saying, this is the day. This is the day. Don't run anymore. Don't back off anymore. Come home. Come home. Come home to Jesus. Come back to peace. He's, even if your life is in pieces, he can make a beautiful mosaic if you'll just give him a chance. Pastor, pray for me. I know that I'm not what I ought to be and where I ought to be, and I want to know that I'm saved, and I want to know that I have eternal life, and I want to know that I'm born again. Pray for me. If that's you, when I count to three, I want you to raise your hand. And remember, Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. This is your moment. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Pastor, pray for me. I won't embarrass you. I'm just going to pray for you. But you must invite him. He never comes where he's not invited. The moment you lift your hand, you invite him. One, two, three. If that's you, lift your hand high. Pastor, I need him. I need him. I need his forgiveness. That's it. Hands all over this room. All over this room. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. In the overflow. Everybody pray this prayer out loud quickly. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe you bled and died and you rose from the dead. And because you live, I can face tomorrow. Because you live, my sins are gone and I have eternal life and I am forgiven. The blood of Jesus has cleansed me from all my sins.
Thanks for joining us. If you haven't already, hit the subscribe button and leave us a review. It helps this podcast reach even more people. For more messages and inspirational materials, download the Jensen Franklin app or head over to jensenfranklin.org. And a special thanks to those who give generously to help us produce weekly content like this and reach the world with the message of Jesus. If you'd like to partner with us, you can give by clicking the link in the description or on our website and app. God bless you, and we'll see you next week.